Sharks. I tell them it's because I was bitten by one when I was 12. Statistically speaking, the coconut palms around the hotel had posed more of a danger to me than the sharks cruising the Gulf. Coconuts dropped like torpedoes around there, so it was stranger than strange that I was not concussed by a coconut, but instead bitten by a shark, a species over 400 million years old, older than humans, dinosaurs, and trees. It was a black tip, Carcharnus limbatus, the shark known for breaching out of the water and spinning in midair while feeding on fish near the surface. The bite resulted in a 13-inch scar, 33 stitches, and an obsession with sharks. Robin, responding in true twin fashion, became the counterbalance to my morbid fascination, developing a fear of sharks bordering on revilement. I didn't begrudge Perry sending me back to Dr. Marion, a child psychiatrist over in Naples. I still don't. But I did wonder how Robin's hating sharks was viewed as perfectly normal, and my loving them was considered detrimental. If you were hit by a car, would you become a mechanic? Robin used to ask. If you were struck on the head with a rock, would you become a geologist? What about falling off a roof? Would that turn you into a roofer? If you were trampled by a horse, would you become a jockey? His list of catastrophes and careers became an ongoing joke, the kind that weren't really jokes at all. He'd never gotten over almost losing me. And after what had happened to our parents, I couldn't blame him. I used to fantasize that if Mom and Dad had been alive, they would have downplayed Perry's and Robin's worries over my becoming a sharkophile. My English professor father, Perry's son through and through, had loved books more than Perry did, if such a thing was possible, and two small volumes of his poetry had been published. He had been the opposite of our sky-minded, engineer mother, whose head had been firmly planted in the clouds, while his had been perpetually bent over books by Keats, Shelley, and Byron. Mom had had her private pilot's license for 2 years when the accident happened, surprising Dad with a weekend in Key West for his birthday. She'd chartered a 1980 Piper, filing a flight plan and arranging for Perry to pick up 6-year-old Robin and me at our house in Jupiter, Florida. Their plane had crashed into the Everglades before we'd even arrived at the hotel, before we'd raced through the lobby, up the stairs, arguing over who got the bed by the window, before we'd yanked on our bathing suits and tore down to the beach, giddy over the hundreds of Florida fighting conchs that had washed ashore overnight, squealing whenever some gooey part of the snail oozed onto our palms. It had taken an airboat to reach their bodies. The National Transportation Safety Board reported Mom had encountered a thunderstorm wind shear. For a while, the sight of a small plane droning overhead, even the mention of an airboat, would summon the scene of my parents strapped in their seats, dead, stuck in the muck with the alligators. Gradually, the image stopped haunting me. I can picture them now as they'd been before the accident. Dad, reading poems to us at the kitchen table that were fathoms over our heads. And Mom, routinely dragging us outside on clear nights in a semi-failed effort to teach us the constellations, lying beside us on the lanai by the pool, calling out Big Dipper, Little Dipper, Orion's Belt. After their funerals, Perry had sold our Jupiter house with the lanai where we'd named Mom's stars, and the kitchen table where we'd listened to Dad's poetry, and she'd brought us to Palermo to live with her in the Hotel of the Muses. Perry commandeered 4 rooms on the 2nd floor, knocked out the walls, and reconstructed it into an apartment for the 3 of us.
"It will be an adventure, like the Swiss Family Robinson," she'd said, rousing herself for the sake of 2 sad little kids.
Night after night, we crawled into her bed, where she read us the Johann David Wies story.